Drive Time 91.3. Always on the cutting edge. Welcome back. Student protesters in Sudan are outraged after claims emerged that the University of Khartoum's historic premises on the Nile Avenue have been sold off to private developers. What? The claims are as yet unverified, but reports suggest that the spot where the university's heritage buildings have stood since 1902 will become a tourism hub. Online is Amira Osman, Associate Professor in Architecture at the University of Johannesburg, one of the many concerned parties who's heard about this Khartoum development, and let's hope it's not too late. Amira Osman, welcome to the show.
Hello. Hi, and welcome, and thank you for inviting me, and thanks for bringing attention to this really important cause. I really appreciate it.
It's bizarre when one reads the story. What's come out of this particular story we've got here, you wrote it in Quartz Africa, that students returned to the university to be told that the university had been closed. They must go and study somewhere else, which is just part of the story. It's bizarre.
The story is bizarre. It didn't quite happen in that manner. I also thought it was a joke when I first started hearing about it on social media. But then I went on to discover that there was a plan developed for Khartoum, and this has been going on since 2005, which is not a problem in itself. A lot of the planners and professionals that were involved were genuinely thinking that they were supporting developing the development of a future vision for Khartoum, which is needed. So that is not a problem in itself. But the plan has been shrouded in a lot of secrecy. It hasn't been disseminated, and apparently beyond the control of the professionals involved, there are certain segments of the city that have been identified as investment zones. Now, what investment zones means or what it implies is very unclear, and the University of Khartoum premises are just a gap in the plan, so there's nothing there to say exactly what's going to happen with those historical campus buildings. But I think it can be confirmed that a lot of the historical colonial buildings along the Nile Avenue have been identified where there's a lot of government departments currently housed. They've already been identified as tourism zones, and there seems to be something in the pipeline to relocate those government ministries, which is alarming in itself. But I think, and that's what we say in our article, and I want to acknowledge my ex-classmate. We studied in Khartoum together in the 80s, Maryam Abdullah, who also has great experience in planning in Khartoum and works for the Ministry of Planning there. She brought this issue to my attention, and that there may be some element of privatization of that land, privatization of some of those heritage buildings. So people started hearing about this in the media, which is really not the right way to kind of inform people and get their opinions, especially when it impacts on them so drastically. I hope that explains.
It certainly does, because I believe that the plan is called KPP 05, or the Khartoum Planning Project 05.
Yes. So that's 2005 is when it was kind of this idea was launched, and people started tendering to deliver that professional service to the city of Khartoum. And I think it was in 2008 when the plan was developed. And I think there are sections of the plan that are still under consideration, but from the documents that we have received, and we're trying to get further information, which is really difficult to obtain, especially since all of these protests have taken place. I think people are very reluctant to, you know, they're not very forthcoming with the information. But it seems like a lot of the historical city centers, remember Khartoum is actually three towns because it's divided by the White Nile, Blue Nile that meet in Khartoum at a location we call the Mugran, or the meeting place of the two Niles, and then a Nile that goes north up to Egypt. So Khartoum is divided into three because of its natural features. Now, that Mugran, that meeting place of the Nile, seems to, in the vision presented in these documents, it seems to have these high-rise developments, which is quite alarming in itself. And then there's an island at the junction there, Tuti Island, which is a very important historical node in Khartoum. And then there are the three city centers, Khartoum, Omdurman, and Bahri. And all of them seem to be threatened in a way. Now, why this is really important in a city in Greater Khartoum that has great poverty, a lot of disadvantage, people are already struggling, and a lot of people make their lives and livelihoods along the Nile rivers, along the banks of these rivers and in the city centers. Now, from the vision that we have been able to, from the documents that we've been able to obtain, it seems that these the Nile banks and the city centers are going to be changed in ways that will really displace a lot of these small business people and perhaps also privatize some of the areas that are currently used for recreation along the Nile River, which would be very sad.
Because obviously, I mean, the heart of a city is the fact that a city does have public spaces, isn't it? I mean, a place where people can enjoy the fresh air. And there's nothing more peaceful in an urban environment than to go down to a riverbank and just look at the water moving.
Yeah, and in Khartoum, that is where people go. So in the afternoons, in the evening, people just sit along the Nile rivers. We have what we call tea ladies, these small businesses all along the riverbanks. And that's where people go, and all of these places are publicly accessible. The alarming thing about these plans is there is no open space strategy that is presented. So the focus seems very much on these investment zones and creating these massive commercial zones that will completely change the character of the city. And as I mentioned, even more alarmingly, disadvantage so many people in the process.
Now, obviously, you've mentioned there have been protests, but even what we're discussing now seems to be just so fragmentary. You mentioned it yourself. Leaks in the media, rumor, which is an incredibly dangerous way of passing on news, and a public of a city completely in the dark as to the future of their own city. What's been the feeling in Khartoum? The people who stay in the city must be outraged.
People are outraged, but the government does hit back in very aggressive ways. So students are being imprisoned. Some of the graduates of Khartoum University that stood in silent protest outside of the campus were all taken into they were imprisoned or detained for about a week or so before they were released. I'm seeing that a lot of people are silent, probably because of the very aggressive backlash that characterizes our current government. So, two students have already died in Sudan in these recent outbreaks. So this particular case of the heritage building, it seems that the University of Khartoum students, that is the key thing that's driving the protests there. But students throughout Sudan do seem to be very concerned and are standing in solidarity with this. But it's also important to note, I mean, like I do write somewhere that space is power and planning is political. And in a really, you know, it's a really important thing to note that people are sensing that something is happening, and the government is not in a clear manner saying, no, this is not going to happen. So there is a general sense of alarm at how the city might change and in what ways this will affect people and their lives. And I actually suspect that this plan is destructive to Khartoum as a whole, to the city as a whole, and it's also destructive to some other campuses, for example, the University of Sudan campus, which is in the Mukran area. It seems to fall within that investment zone. So it's a much bigger problem than just the University of Khartoum premises. But I think the University of Khartoum being this oldest university, the heritage aspect, the very strong symbolic aspect that the University of Khartoum has, I think it's become a key element in bringing together people and voices in terms of this political struggle.
It's quite strange that one is talking about a political struggle in Khartoum, in Sudan, that has absolutely nothing to do with Darfur, southern Sudan, or any of the other ongoing conflicts in this rather huge country?
Sudan is a complicated country. It's a very big country, as you rightly mentioned. There are many, many struggles, and that's why I really wanted to emphasize the fact that the University of Khartoum has become something of a symbol. So even if you look at social media, it's in Arabic, the Facebook groups are Illa al-Jamila al-Jamila, which means our beautiful campus. You know, so people are using it as almost a symbol of their struggle. So, and that's what I found fascinating and Maryam found fascinating, is that there's always been people going out into the streets. Life is harsh. Life is difficult. We have small wars here and there, but for this to be a built environment issue that has really angered people to this extent. I find that, being a built environment professional myself, I find that incredibly powerful. But it's also just become a symbol for much greater struggles. Like you say, Sudan has many problems, and this is just one of them that we are focusing on now.
I just can't help getting the slightly instinctive feeling that it takes an issue like what we're discussing to tip things. And I can't help but think that if this thing does carry on to where some of the city authorities might want to take it, they might see things happening in Sudan that they could never have predicted. You know, societies are funny things, and sometimes when they have really had enough, it doesn't take much to push them over the edge. And I don't know how you feel, but I just keep on, when the more I look at this, the more I think, boy, I hope that this is not the event that becomes the tipping edge of something that just spirals into uncontrolled violence or something. But let's hope for the best.
We definitely do, but just raising awareness, like one student put on Facebook, we just want to tell the world that we exist and we resist. Sudan, Northern Sudan, especially since Southern Sudan split off and it's become Northern Sudan, or the Sudan, it really is neglected in the media. And like you say, people know Darfur, people know of the south, but there's a lot happening in the center, a lot happening in the northern regions that people just don't hear about. And bringing media attention to those students hopefully will help save many lives. So we really appreciate your interest in this issue.
Amira Osman, Associate Professor in Architecture, University of Johannesburg, who has an absolute passion for Khartoum and Sudan, understandably so, a beautiful country that deserves peace. Amira Osman, thanks for chatting to us.
Thank you so much.